All right, class, this is class session, I think, number four. We're going to continue on our study of honor. I'm going to have a quick prayer, and we're going to get right into the lesson for today. Father, we just thank you, Lord God. I thank you for each and every student. I thank you for my second year class and the first year class. And I thank you that they're receiving everything from you that they're going to need so that they can walk in honor and that they can be honored and they can receive the blessing that God has for them. Amen. And as always, Lord, I'm dependent totally and completely on the Holy Spirit to direct my steps, because if he don't show up, I know I'll fall flat on my face, because I lean and depend totally and completely on him. In Jesus' name, amen. And you'll notice a lot of times when I pray, I'll say that last phrase, you know, I'll fall flat on my face without the Holy Spirit. I'm learning, and have learned and still learning the importance of yielding, you know, none of me, but all of you, because I don't want you to hear me. I want you to hear God speaking through me, and I want to yield to him, give him the right of way in my life. So what I'm saying and what I'm directing to you is apostolic, because I'm apostolic, because I submit to the apostolic. But I know the importance, you know, your weaknesses. Sometimes people think their weaknesses are their inadequacies. But your weaknesses actually, in most cases, are your strength. Because when you recognize your limitations, you know, that's when God can now come and give you his strength. There's an exchange that takes place. Your weaknesses for his strength. All right. God's divine order as it relates to honor. We're going to continue on this vein. We will be talking about divine order government as it relates to the spirit of honor. And I read this scripture last week, but we're going to be hitting it again. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers or the higher authorities, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God, are God's established authority. The New King James Version says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. Now, here it uses the word authority, and the authorities that exist are ordained by God. That's the New King James Version. Power and authority are used interchangeably, but they are not the same thing. You can be in authority and have no real power. All right? And you can have power, but no authority to execute that power. So power plus authority equals dominion. When you have power and authority, well, then now you can operate and function in dominion. Amen. Excuse me. I'm going to just kind of wipe a little sweat off me. Thank you so much. All right. I'm going to read Romans 13:1 in the Amplified Bible. It says, let every person be loyally subjected to the governing civil and spiritual authorities, for there is no authority or no power except from God by his permission, his sanction, and those that exist do so by God's appointment. In other words, God says, I appoint who I want to appoint, and let everybody be in subjection to the higher powers, or the powers that be, or the governing powers that I set up. All authority and all power has been appointed and instituted by God. When true authority is present, order will be in place, because power is present to enforce that authority. In God's kingdom, there will be divine order. And that's something I'm learning more and more. And I really am blessed when I see people learn and understand divine order. There was a lady who called me the other day, and the first thing she says, I'm calling you because I want to be in divine order, and I need to get some information to Apostle. And me being an elder in the church, that was the protocol Apostle set up. You call your elder, and your elder gives that information to those who are on staff, namely Dr. Montrell, Dr. Leroy Jr., and they in turn give that information to Apostle. You know, but it blessed me because I saw that she understood protocol. And immediately after I got off the phone with her concerning her concern, I was on the phone calling Dr. Leroy Jr., sharing that information with him. And before the end of the day, what she needed got back to her through divine order, through divine protocol. Amen. And that's so important. In God's kingdom, there will be divine order. The Message Bible talks about God's order in the same verse in Romans 13 and 1. Now, this is a different take on Romans 13 and 1. This is the Message Bible. It says, be a good citizen. All governments are under God. Insofar as there is peace and order, it's God's order or God's divine order. So live responsibly as a citizen. If you are irresponsible to the state, then you are irresponsible with God, and God will hold you responsible. Duly constituted authorities are only a threat if you are trying to get away with something. Decent citizens should have nothing to fear. Why? So basically, you know, it says, you know, all government is under God in so much that peace and order is God's order or God's divine order. If you live responsibly as a citizen, you're going to be fine. But if you disobey orders and walk out of protocol, there's going to be consequences. You know, so you want to stay in honor. The government of God is upon the shoulders of Jesus, and we talked about that last week. All power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. He is absolute authority. You know, and I read, you know, out of Isaiah where it says, unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders. That child is Jesus, and the government is upon his shoulders, you know. And it says in verse 7 that the increase, in other words, God's government right now is on the increase. God's government is on the increase because it's being established, and people are submitting to it, and they're following it. I said, verse 7, this is Isaiah 9 and 7, and of the increase of his government and peace, there should be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it. God is ordering his government to be established with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever. The zeal of the Lord, in other words, God, his zeal, he's pushing this, that his government be established. Okay. I have seen tremendous zeal in our apostle in the last 4 to 5 years, wanting to see God's government established, because he knows that once the government of God is established properly, things are going to start happening supernaturally, miracles, signs, and wonders, because that's how the flow of anointing goes down through government. Divine order. When government is in divine order, everything and everybody will be in their proper position and functioning as one man. Where there is order in government, there will be honor. Where there is order in government, there will be honor. This is divine authority, divine order functioning to the uttermost. One of the things Apostle Thompson stated on a Wednesday midweek service several years ago, he said that order is the structure of honor. Order is the structure of honor. In other words, when you have order, it's going to structure honor. Because when people follow divine order, they can't help but walk in honor. Because order will structure honor to work properly. Because you're following the protocol and the plan, and you're following God's agenda. When the structure of a house is set up right, it will produce honor. Even in the natural, I just finished building a house a little under a year ago, and I was very concerned that the foundation and even the framing of the house was done properly. Because I knew what was going to be built on top of that house was going to have to be supported by the foundation and the frame. I saw where they didn't put enough what they call ankle bolts on the bottom plate, where you have the concrete, then you have a bottom 2x4, and they put these ankle bolts, which is something they drill into the concrete, put a stud and a bolt in there, and they tighten it down. Well, they had to go back and actually add 64 ankle bolts to my frame, because the whole back of the house didn't have any, you know. And after that, I definitely was there every day checking to make sure that I knew the foundation was good, but I wanted to make sure that the frame was good. You're required to honor, listen up, the ranks and the levels and the positions that has been set up in God's government by divine order of His protocol. If you get out of proper divine order established in God's government, the structure of order will produce honor in individuals' lives. Okay, let me read this. I think I read it wrong. If you get the proper divine order established in God's government, yeah, the structure of order will produce honor in individual lives. The offices of God's government is found in Ephesians 4 and 11, and we're not going to read those again because I think we've went over it enough. Where you have true honor, the structure and of the organization will be solid. Everything will be in divine order and flow according to proper protocol. I'll read that again. Where you have true honor, the structure of an organization will be solid, because everything will be in divine order and flow properly according to protocol. Okay, the word protocol, I've talked about that a lot, but let me give you a definition. Protocol, the official procedure or system of rules governing affairs of a state of a diplomatic occasion, or rules of order. The way a ceremony or governmental rules are engaged, or of an engagement flows. That's what is known as Robert's Rule of Order. But in God's government, God has a protocol, or a way He wants things structured. And when they're structured properly, that's when the blessings come down. God is the most purposeful being on the face of the universe. He is a God of complete and divine absolute order. Nothing He does is by chance. There is reasons for every thing created under the sun. So God doesn't do anything, you know, by chance. You know, there's no chaos. Nothing He does is out of chance, chaos, or disorder. He established the end from the beginning. Nothing He does is out of chance or happens by accident. God's plan since the fall of man was to restore order back to the earth. Listen up. God's plan since the fall of man during Adam's time was to restore divine order back to the earth, where sin had caused everything to be out of order and chaos. Okay, Satan rebelled against the order of God's government and caused the earth to fall into chaos. He said, "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High." Okay, but in these last days, God is restoring back to His, going back to His original plan. That's the government of God. And He's returning His government and is being restored back to divine order, which is the structure of honor. Amen? All right. Let me move on. We're going to look at some examples. And I've already talked about this, because one of the things I've shared with you, that I am a repeater. But I like to make my point plain and simple, because one of the things I endeavor to do is, in my class, is to point directly to apostles' class, so that, okay, and when I said this, something came up in my spirit. Even though all of our classes are completely online, you still can sow into apostles' life by going online and stating, you know, that you're a student, and you're sowing into his life, sowing a seed every week, every class session, if you can. Because what's going to happen as you sow into him every Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever class session his class comes in, you're now sowing your monetary things into apostle. And so now you're able to receive spiritual things in a greater dimension, a greater degree. So you're going to get more out of the class. I mean, every Sunday, every Wednesday, I'm sowing directly into my man of God. And I expect to receive greater impartation and revelation. And the mysteries are unveiled to me at a greater degree than when and if I didn't sow. So it is very important. So anyway, I want to look at examples of a person who was out of order. That was Miriam and Aaron. That's coming out of Numbers. Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And Aaron and Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he married, for he married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, had not the Lord indeed spoken only to Moses, had he not spoken also to us? And it says, and the Lord heard it. Okay, now swift judgment came upon, especially Miriam, because she spearheaded it. And he called both Aaron and Miriam to the temple. When I say the temple, I'm talking the Holy of Holies. And they came right to the curtain and the presence of God, which the presence of God normally stayed shut up there, but it came to the outer court. And basically he told them, I speak to certain men in similitudes or in certain ways and dreams and visions and what have you. But with Moses, who's my apostolic leader, I speak to him mouth to mouth. And who are you now to judge and to criticize him on his personal affairs? If I have an issue with Moses, I'm going to deal with him face to face, you know, and swift judgment was a result. And as you know, Miriam was stricken with leprosy for a couple of weeks. You know, Miriam was out of order by speaking against Moses for marrying the Ethiopian woman. She showed dishonor towards Moses because Moses was God's apostolic leader. Okay, that's so very important that you understand that. This dishonor brought consequences and swift judgment. Like I said, she became a leper. And this is something that Tudor Bismarck says in his book. Even secular leaders placed in the world, police forces, political forces, have been placed there by God, because all authority, as we read in Romans 13 and 1, are set up and executed by God. It says police, political forces have been placed there by God to execute God's on God's behalf, the force of God's kingdom, so that the demonic spirits will not advance. If people don't understand these power structures that are in place, they will reap to themselves, the scripture says, damnation. And that's so very important. When I say damnation, God, he has to pull his hand back. Because you're not following proper protocol, proper procedure. You're not lining up under divine order. And that's what happened with Miriam. You know, she was stricken with leprosy because she, from that point on until she got it straight, God had to pull his hand back because he needed to let people know how important it was to stay in divine order. Amen. Now, we're living now in a different dispensation and there is grace, but you just can't speak. One of the things I got all over my notes, you never want to put your mouth on a man of God and be guiltless, because you can't be guiltless. You know, I don't care what he did, what he said, but if that's God's man, you don't want to put your mouth on him and speak negatively against him. All right. All right. Let's break down Romans 13 and 7. And let me read it first from around the seventh chapter. Okay, starting at verse 6, Romans 13 and 6 says, for this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon the very thing. Okay, then verse 7 says, render therefore to all their dues, or what is owed them. Tribute to whom tribute is due. custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man nothing but to love him. Owe no man nothing but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law of God. Amen. All right. Let's kind of break down some of these things here. Giving tribute to whom tribute is due. Tribute here means that we have to honor the laws of the land. Tribute means paying taxes, duty, and certain levels of structure within civil government. Paul says you have to honor the government, honor the laws of the land. And if you don't honor the laws of the land, you're going to be in trouble with the government. If you don't honor God's laws, you're going to be in trouble with God. Many times when individuals visit other countries, now this is Tudor Bismarck, and he was referencing going to and ministering in other places or other countries. So you got to kind of read it into the context that it was set. He says, many times when individuals or ministers visit other countries, even though minorly gifted of the Lord, if they do not honor the laws of that country, their ministry is dramatically or strongly inhibited or restricted, and their anointing levels will go down. I remember one instance, and I'm going to try to paraphrase it as best I can, where some missionaries were doing missionary work in a foreign country, a husband and a wife team. They had been married, and they were in their tent one night or one evening being intimate, and somebody from that country accidentally walked in on them, saw what they were doing, but what they were doing was taboo in that country. Don't know what it was. I'm not leaving it to your imagination, but he went told authorities what he saw. They came and dragged them out of their tent and had them executed because whatever was going on was taboo in that country. Whenever you go into a country, that's kind of an extreme situation or extreme example, but you need to know what are the laws and the rules of that country so that you're not going to be violating their customs or their tributes. Amen? All right, let's move on. Giving custom to whom custom is due. This means the people of the land. Anytime you go to any place in the world, and you might have tremendous anointing, according to Mr. Bismarck, if you dishonor the people and their customs, provided their customs do not violate the scriptural requirements for life, the anointing levels go all the way down. And you don't want to, you know, knowing their customs. You know, if you go to England, the Queen is no longer with us, but you just don't walk up to the Queen and shake her hand because she's considered royalty. And unless she reaches her hand, you don't reach your hand. And there's certain protocols that has to be followed. You know, when the president enters a building, as he walks in, everybody stands up. That's a protocol. That's giving honor to whom honor is due. And those things have to be honored. Amen. All right. And that's very important. Let's move on. Number three, giving fear to whom fear is due. When I saw 16, that's how much time I had left. So I'm telling it out. In other words, fear means you have to honor the ranks, the levels and the positions and the dignitaries of the land. It is very dangerous to go into a different country and a different region if you don't know who has rank. Because you can be violating the ranks that have been set in place by God. In other words, give you a good illustration. Suppose somebody decide, well, we're going to start a church a half a mile down the street from Word of Life. That's dishonoring apostle without first coming to him, first letting them know what your intentions are. I feel like God wants me to do a certain thing, and he may give you grace to do it, or he may say, I think you need to move to another region, you know, because God has given me, this is my region, this is my territory. You just don't go and violate somebody's territory. But that's giving honor to whom honor is due. Bishop Tudor Bismarck even talks about it wouldn't be a bad idea if you're going to be doing even itinerant ministry or tent ministry, you know, street ministry in a particular area, to find out who has rank or who has position or who God has placed in that region. And just go by, he said, even if you don't see him, go by the office and just sow a seed and let them know that you're going to be in the area. Because they can speak a blessing over you, you know, because you're doing the work of the Lord. But it's just, you know, you can't just go into Russia and walk in the Kremlin and do what you want to do. You will be stopped, you'll be arrested, you know, and probably put in prison. You know, in certain other countries, there's strict protocol. You know, you can't even fly into another country's airspace without getting their permission. You know, because you're violating their airspace, you can be shot down. You know, so know the ranks, know the people who have ranks in certain areas. That's so very important. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Okay, the word fear here means reverence and respect. A godly respect, a reverence. It's always important to research an area before you go there. When you prophesy, the Bible says the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. And he talks about a lot of times people may go into an area and say stuff, you know, prophesy and saying God's going to use this church to start revival. And there might be another church down the street where revival has already started. And so you're kind of stepping on another ministry's toes to some degree by saying that this place is what's going to take place, you know, without first researching the dynamics. Let me read this. This is what he says is, we have seen many times prophetic gifts come into a region and speak a word to a specific church without researching the dynamics of the fathers and the apostles and the prophets and the generational words in that region and upset the equilibrium of what is happening in that particular region. So it's very important that you when you fear to whom fear is due, is fearing or respecting the apostolic, respecting the leadership and the authority or the authority person that God has set up in that region. Amen. Okay, let's go on to the next one. Giving honor to whom honor is due. In other words, you have to know now honor the anointing that's in the land. Okay, it is important that we honor the anointing in the land. I would encourage that if you are ministering in a particular region or a local pastor or apostolic gift that you I'm trying to get it how he said, there could be somebody, like I said, with higher rank in that region, and you want to give honor to whom honor is due. It says, every now and then it would not hurt just to take an offering to that leader without necessarily seeing him, just dropping by an offering and honor, a gift, which is proper spiritual protocol. When you show that kind of honor, there's automatic spiritual reciprocation. Okay. Something else I want to point out, and I've said it every two or three class sessions, and I'm going to say it again today. The greatest seed that you can sow is an honor seed. There's no greater seed to sow than an honor seed. It is required by God that we honor and respect every life source. We talked about life sources in the second class session. So when he says, give honor to whom honor is due, he specifically means here that you have to honor a life source. All right? Listen up. Anytime people dishonor a life source, it unleashes demonic attack, satanic generational curses, poverty, and all kinds of barrenness and famine. When you dishonor a life source by not showing honor to whom honor is due. Here again, this is something you'll probably see again. All life comes from God. And when people blatantly dishonor a life source, no matter what life source it is, it violates the principle of God's sovereign existence. So you don't want to dishonor a life source. Amen. Because what happens is, if a country or government does not honor the spiritual leaders in that country or that region, that country cannot be blessed. And that's, I mean, the reason why this area, this region where we're living here in Darrow, Gonzales area, is so blessed is because of the apostolic that's in this region. And but when governments don't honor and respect what God has set up in that region, that country can't be blessed. You know, but the minute the people and the government in that region change their position and begin to recognize spiritual leaders, the blessing returns to that country or that region. When you recognize spiritual leadership and honor those leaders as such, when you allow them to say certain prayers and to speak into government, then the blessing of God flows because of you're honoring that particular leadership. Amen. Also, too, honor is not just having a bunch of armor bearers. Though an armor bearer can serve a prophet with honor or an apostle with honor, honor is not, you know, washing the car or taking the clothes to the cleaners for your man of God, though those things can be honorable. Listen up. Honor is reciprocation in terms of the way we receive the anointing and the way people act on what has been released. I'm going to read that again. Honor is reciprocation in terms of the way we receive the anointing. That's on the man of God. And the way the people now act on what has been released. the greatest level of dishonor is when the apostle or your spiritual leader preach and teach to the people year after year after year, and they don't act on the word that had been preached or sown into them. That's the greatest level of dishonor. You want to be able to act on what was preached, what was taught. Because if you don't, within you are actually operating in dishonor. And that you don't want to do. Amen. I said, if a country does not honor its spiritual leaders, that country or that region cannot be blessed. They can put money on the altar. They can wash your cars. They can take your clothes to the cleaners. The fact that they didn't hear what he says is the greatest level of dishonor that there is. Because God has sent a spiritual leader, an apostolic source, an apostle, a prophet to a region to cause that region to prosper, to cause that region to get out of financial bondage. You know, you remember where there were people who were in debt, discontentment. It was three things, I know, distress, debt, and discontentment. And the Lord sent to them a leader in David, and as they followed him and submitted to him, God brought them out of those threes. So a lot of times God will send a man of God to a particular area to address the needs of that region so that his people can come out of bondage. He sent Moses into Egypt as an apostolic leader to lead. He heard the cry of his people, and he sent Moses to lead them out of bondage of Pharaoh and Egypt. And Moses led them out. But overall, they didn't honor Moses, and they didn't do a lot of the things Moses said to do. You know, they were hungry. Moses prayed, and manna came down. They tried to save some of the manna for the next day. The manna basically end up, you know, turning into something that they couldn't eat. So because of disobedience and because of the fact that they wanted to go back to Egypt, what should have took probably 40 days, took 40 years. Why? Because, and all of the people, listen up, all of the people who were in unbelief and wasn't acting and wasn't following Moses wholeheartedly had to die off. And there was only, I think, two people, Joshua and Caleb, who actually entered into the promised land, because when he had them, had the spies to go in, there's only two of them that had a positive report, said we're well able to take the land. You know, when your apostle gives an assignment and tells us this is God's directive, you know, you want to take that assignment and go wholeheartedly with it. One of the expressions people use, go whole hog, just go after it, because You know, God might tell, in the scripture, God told one leader to have the people march around the wall several times, and on the seventh time, shout, and the walls came down. You know, that's divine order, that's protocol, that's following the instructions of the man of God. You know, so very important. So very important. Amen. Hallelujah. Like I said, the greatest level of dishonor a church can sow towards the apostolic source or their spiritual leader is not acting upon the word that was sown. Amen? You don't want to do that. 2 Chronicles 20:20 stated, "And they rose up early and went forth into the wilderness of Topeka. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat, who was the spiritual leader, the apostolic source, stood and said, 'Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets or his apostles, so shall you prosper.'" You must believe and act on the word that's coming out of your man of God's mouth. Just being in attendance in the church is not good enough. You've got to act on it. And sometimes you're just acting on blind faith, you know. But you have God's word. You know, you step out. You know, Peter stepped out on the water, and he walked, even though he let the situations and the wind and the waves get to him mentally, and he began to sink. But one of the things you want to do is always keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eye on your man of God and follow his instructions closely. There have been times, I remember one situation, I'll share this and I'll leave, you know, shut it down for the day. But a gentleman at church was under cardiac arrest at the church, and they rushed him to the hospital. And after church, I was thinking about going to the hospital to be with the family and support them. But then I thought about it for a minute. I said, I'm not going unless my apostle gives me that assignment to go. Because I know that if I go as an assignment from him, I'm going under his anointing. I'm going under his sanction, under protocol, and I'm not going in my own strength. I was getting ready to head to go visit my mother in another town. But before I drove off the parking lot, I looked at my phone and I saw that I had a text, and the text says, "Apostle wants you to go to the hospital and be with the family and pray with them." So now I had marching orders. So now I had what I needed to go forth under his anointing, under his sanction. You know, it just made a complete difference. You know, I remember another situation where another man was under attack, and I was doing some things, and then I recognized, I says, I need to get with my apostle to make sure that I'm not out of order, because even though I'm an elder, I wasn't commissioned directly under him as far as he being under me. And I said, let me call in and find out. And once I stated, they said, yeah, keep doing what you're doing. You know, that man revived and living well and living strong today. You know, it's something about following protocol. It's something about following divine order that causes honor and causes the divine flow of God to come down from heaven to earth. That's what you want. You want a divine flow of God's power flowing down from heaven to earth. And you want to be in the right position, aligned properly, so that that power can flow down to you, you know. And that's all a part of understanding ranks, levels, protocol, divine order, you know, and knowing what God's agenda is. With that said, I'll see you next week. We should be having a test coming up soon. I'm going to have to check with the schedule, but we may not have class session next week. After four classes, we may have a test. But study your quiz questions. Everything that's on my quiz questions are going to be on the test. So there won't be any study notes or anything. You just study your quiz questions and you'll do fine on the test. See you next time. Be blessed. Amen. All right, sir.